It's another day in the dusty haze. Those burning rays are wearing down his body. The diesel's worth the price of gold. It's the cheapest grain he's ever sold. But he's still holding on. He just takes the tractor another round and pulls a plow across the ground and sends up another prayer. He says, Lord, I never complain. Toll on his family.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Supreme Court out with new rules on government officials and blocking and deleting posts from social media. ABC's Stephen Portnoy has those details.
The case had the justices considering whether blocking or deleting posts on Facebook or other social sites violates the First Amendment when the blocker or deleter is a government official. The court's unanimous holding is that it depends, that when a post is deleted from an official's personal site, it's probably okay, but when that official makes formal government posts on his page, blocking or deleting is probably not okay.
The Georgia judge overseeing the election interference case against Donald Trump and co-defendants ruling that Fulton County DA Fonnie Willis must remove herself and team from the case or have the special prosecutor she had a personal relationship with step down. Willis and Trump can still appeal. Russia's presidential election now underway, Vladimir Putin casting his vote, according to state media. The election runs through Sunday. This is ABC News. A technical glitch affecting a fast food giant.
Getting that Big Mac and fries overseas proving to be a technical challenge. McDonald's reporting a global outage in multiple countries with its self-serve kiosks that allow customers to order and pay for a meal on screen. The glitch causing hiccups in Australia, Japan, Hong Kong, New Zealand, Sweden, and elsewhere. So far, no reported problems in the U.S. Advice from customers on social media, bring cash. McDonald's issuing a statement saying the issue is being resolved and is not related to a cybersecurity event. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
More people in the U.S. saying, I do. According to the CDC National Center of Health Statistics, the number of marriages in 2022 was more than 2 million, marking the first time they surpassed the 2 million mark since 2019, returning to pre-pandemic levels. The state with the highest marriage rate, Nevada, followed by Hawaii and then Montana. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Ask Sherwin-Williams during the March Spring Sale, March 15th through the 25th, and get 35% off paints and stains with prices starting at $28.92. That means 35% off our most popular color family, blue. Psychologists have found it to be soothing and relaxing, which makes it especially great for bedrooms and bathrooms. And, of course, get 35% off all of our other colors. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Don't you love an extra $100 in your pocket? Have a TurboTax expert file your taxes for you by March 31st to get $100 back instantly. Because no matter what moves you made last year, TurboTax makes them count. That means getting $100 back and 100% accurate taxes only from Intuit TurboTax. Must file by 3/31. Credit only applicable to federal filing fees with TurboTax full service. Offer can be modified or terminated at any time.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, filling in for Ted Allen. I'm Raymond Newpert. The state Supreme Court has issued a ruling with implications for religious organizations. Bob Haig has an update.
In a 4-3 decision released Thursday, the court's liberal majority ruled that the Catholic Charities Bureau is not exempt from paying into the state's unemployment insurance system because its operations are not primarily religious. The justices found that Catholic Charities meet only one of the requirements to be exempt from the system. The court said Catholic Charities hadn't shown how paying unemployment taxes would prevent it from fulfilling a religious function or engaging in any religious activities. An attorney for Superior-based Catholic Charities Bureau said it plans to appeal the ruling to the U.S. Supreme Court.
While the search for a missing Two Rivers toddler continues, the adults arrested in connection with the disappearance of Elijah Vu were in court this week. We get an update from Stephen Devine in Manitowoc.
31-year-old Katrina Bauer waived her right to a preliminary hearing yesterday during her court date at the Manitowoc County Courthouse. 39-year-old Jesse Vang, who was the last person to see Elijah before he went missing, had his court hearings delayed again because he isn't represented by a lawyer. Elijah has now been missing for almost a month after being reported missing on February 20th. A vigil is going to be held this weekend for the missing 3-year-old.
The Crandon School District will be shut down today while health officials try to figure out what exactly sent several students and staff to the hospital on Thursday. A mystery ailment overcame those people. Even several EMS members who came to rescue people got ill. The Oneida County Hazmat Team will be on the scene today to try to track down what's causing the illness. 7th Congressional District Republican Tom Tiffany was among those voting for a bill this week that would require the social media app TikTok to be sold or banned in the U.S. That was pushed forward by Republican Mike Gallagher. This is Wisconsin Radio Network.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care, plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. One more calm and sunny spring-like day today as high temperatures soar to the mid-50s. By tomorrow, we'll be battling a breezy wind whipping up to 30 miles per hour. Under partly sunny skies, this will take our highs of the low 50s and make them feel more like the 40s. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 50 degrees at our studios.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Durand Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Winter via Farm Journal broadcast. This is AgriTalk. This morning, it's our Friday free-for-all with panelist Jim Wiesmeyer, and we welcome Tom Sell. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, welcome the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. A beautiful day.
Gorgeous.
In northeast Iowa, sun is shining, the sky is blue, the temperatures are warming up. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be as warm as it was earlier this week, but it's going to be warm enough for the middle of March, dude.
We will absolutely take it. And I got to say, my daffodils say, yeah, it's warm enough. They are really? Gorgeous. They're out. They're out, baby.
They've bloomed?
Yes. Yes,
man.
They've bloomed. Yep.
That's
happened yesterday.
Crazy. That is crazy. We've got some tulips around the... the house up here, or I should say around the bunker. Mm-hmm. By the time they bloom, you better be in the timber looking for morels, too.
Well, I did take your advice, and I found a few more dandelions. I just popped the head right off of those babies.
There you go.
Just pop it off.
Yeah. You got to take care of those early.
Can't let them spread.
My Grandma Agnes would be proud of you.
Oh, I didn't do the salted earth kind of policy that she's known for, but
right.
That's
right.
Good.
Oh, yeah. No, you're going to take care of those. If you're going to go through the effort, you're going to make sure that you only have to do it once. No question about that. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us on this Friday morning. How in the world did that happen?
I don't know, man. Feels good, though. Feels like a Friday.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Feels like a Friday coming off a Cyclone victory.
Oh, was there a victory?
There was a victory last night, yes. Cyclones over K-State in the Big 12 tournament, so things continue. We've got Baylor tonight. See how that continues.
How do you like your chances?
I like them.
You got them?
I like them, yep. Okay. They're playing they played a whole lot better last night than they did last Saturday when K-State stomped them in Manhattan.
Okay.
So, and then the stomping was – basically returned close to, I think it was a 19-point victory, something like that.
Oh, okay.
So,
even Steven.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope K-State gets into the tournament, into the NCAA tournament. They've got, that's a good team. It really is. I hope they get into the tournament. We're going to know a whole lot more about that come Monday morning, too. So, all right, let's get to the news. What do you got, buddy?
I'm going to start with the National Weather Service. Scattered strong to severe thunderstorms and excessive rainfall are possible from the Texas Hill Country eastward across the southeastern United States today, and the Texas Hill Country into South Texas on Saturday. A winter storm will produce waves of heavy snow in higher elevations of the southwest and the Four Corners region into the weekend. I think pretty quiet across the Midwest.
Yeah, it's very quiet across the Midwest right now. But you look down into the southeast, East Texas, northern Louisiana, southeast Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, they're all starting to get hit with some heavy storms.
Well, Chip, Senators Chuck Grassley of Iowa and John Thune of South Dakota joined colleagues in urging U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai and Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack to improve ag export opportunities. They joined a group of senators in writing a letter to Vilsack and Tai acknowledging that trade fluctuates because of macroeconomic factors and market conditions. But the letter says, quote, however, the current sharp decline in U.S. ag exports is directly attributable to and exacerbated by an unambitious U.S. trade strategy that's failing to meaningfully expand market access or reduce tariff and non-tariff barriers to trade. Chip, we've been saying this for a minute.
Yeah, we certainly have, and this is the first direct comment, at least that I recall, from Grassley and Thune, and you know, from the senators in a direct message to USDA and the U.S. Trade Rep's office that we need to get serious and get some more work done on this.
Well, Chip, growers have until today, that's March 15, to make an election between ARC and PLC on a crop-by-crop and a farm-by-farm basis and to enroll their farm or farms for the 2024 crop year. Mm-hmm. USDA released a plan that will boost biomass supply chain resiliency for domestic bio-based product manufacturing while also advancing environmental sustainability and market opportunities for small and mid-sized producers. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack remarked, quote, the increasing demand for biomass is a golden opportunity to expand markets and create new revenue for American farmers, ranchers, and forest landowners, particularly in rural areas.
Yeah, boy, talk about a cheerleader for the biofuels. There is no question on this. And he understands the issues mm-hmm. on this one. He understands that maybe the rest of the Biden administration doesn't fully grasp the opportunities that are in front of them right now with some of the fuels that are available right now. Mm-hmm. So you guys know this. There's a lot of issues that I do not agree with Secretary Vilsack on. But, boy, he's right on top of it with the biofuels.
Well, Chip, this week's economic data suggested stagflation and reduced expectations for a June interest rate cut by the Fed. However, the market's bullish sentiment on stable growth, falling inflation, imminent Fed rate cuts, and enthusiasm for artificial intelligence remained largely intact. Despite the market's resilience, the Sevens report says recent economic reports have hinted at a potential slowdown in economic momentum and persistent price pressures challenging the bullish narrative.
Dude, there are some analysts in the market right now that are just kind of, it's almost like they're sitting with amazement. Looking at this conversation about interest rates and say, wait a minute. No, we were supposed to have 5, 6, 7 cuts this year. Mm-hmm. Now you're talking about pushing everything back until the second half of the year? That mm-hmm. can't be. You guys, look at the data. That's all you got to do. Mm-hmm. The inflation data is suggesting Fed had better wait.
Well, Chip, President Joe Biden said United States Steel Corp should retain American ownership, coming out against the takeover by Japan's Nippon Steel Corp, despite the risk of upsetting a key ally ahead of a state visit next month by the Japanese Prime Minister. In other news, the leader of Yemen's Houthi rebels said they will expand their anti-ship attacks to Israel-linked ships in the Indian Ocean using the Cape of Good Hope route. The Houthis carried out 3 attacks in the Indian Ocean this week, Chip, and they've laid out 3 different conditions for knocking it off, basically, here. And it all goes back to Israel-Gaza.
Oh, absolutely. And it all goes back to 3 very unrealistic, and it ain't going to happen, requests from the Houthis. Yeah. That's the bottom line. It's just this is going to get a whole lot worse.
Yes.
And finally here, the National Pork Producers Council announces the World Pork Expo returns on June 5th and 6th to the Iowa State Fairgrounds in Des Moines. The world's largest pork-specific trade show returns with more than 700 booths showcasing the latest and greatest in pork production technology and services. Chip.
Yeah, it's absolutely one of the best gatherings in agriculture. No question about that. All right, we'll be there. We'll be there June 5th through 6th at the Pork Conference. We've got the free-for-all coming your way next here on AgriTalk.
AgriTalk is brought to you by United Animal Health, where their science allows you to maximize your genetic potential. Learn more at unitedanh.com.
Production of animals is filled with variation and inconsistency. At United Animal Health, we innovate animal science to impact the health of animals using the least amount of resources. Our science aims to produce greater consistency with less variation, allowing you to maximize your genetic investment. At United Animal Health, we believe you're only as good as your animals. We offer scientifically better products that are as reliable as we are. United Animal Health. Good people you can trust.
Are you ready for better efficiency, more productivity, higher yields? Then you're ready for John Deere Precision Technology, which starts with three core pieces. First, a G5 display gives fast views of your work and a window to future technology. A Starfire receiver gives you sub-inch repeatable accuracy without an RTK base station. And a JD Link modem gives you a live view of your entire operation. Get precise and talk with your John Deere dealer or visit johndeere.com/basic.
Lameness is a costly issue on dairies across the U.S. Both direct costs like hoof trimming and indirect costs like drop in milk yield can result in a huge loss in gross profit. While there are many ways of preventing and treating lameness, starting cows off right structurally through proper trace mineral supplementation is a great place to start. Visit NovusINT.com and click on resources to learn how Novus Trace Minerals can help prevent lameness. That's NovusINT.com/resources.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. If your employer doesn't supply health care coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private health care is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage.
Give us a call at 800-801-27.
Compere Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compere Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compere.com. Compere Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
AgriTalk is brought to you by John Deere. For generations before and generations to come, John Deere is part of your farm and your family. Whatever your technology needs, John Deere has the tools to help grow your farm.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us on this Friday morning. That means it's time for a conversation with Jim Wiesmeyer, Tom Sell, Davis Michelson. It's called the free-for-all, Davis. Have you heard of it before?
Yeah, we do it every Friday.
Every Friday. Every
Friday morning.
Really?
You betcha.
Really?
Yeah.
And I think what we do is we just kind of take some of the big happenings of the week and toss mm-hmm. them out there and see what everybody thinks about what is going on out there.
That's right.
Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst. How are you, buddy?
Pretty good. It's spring because my lawn service put all my mulch in, so it's spring now.
It's spring now. Yeah. Yeah, very good. Very good. we're trying to make contact with Tom here, Jim. But in the meantime, I'm looking for a couple of things that I want to get from you that maybe we can wait and see if we can get Tom in here in on the conversation in just a bit. But talk to me about what is the latest on the spending bills. Have some been pushed back even further now?
The biggest one is the Homeland Security bill. It looks like there are some, you know, those will include border issues, and you know how sensitive that is. Now, the latest in town here now on that is they're considering a stopgap funding bill for that department, Homeland Security, through the end of September. That means they're really going to punt on that one. Now, yeah, the other ones are close to getting done, so a lot of work over the weekend, so we're going to see, because they have the midnight March 22nd deadline, Jim.
Can they pick and choose like this?
Yeah, they can put that in the package in the bill that, yeah, they can vary it.
Okay, so the Homeland Security funding gets pushed back. That's got to be part of the reason for that. Has got to be the dislike of Secretary Mayorkas, right?
Well, that, and they're negotiating bills relative to border security. Remember, the there's been a difference between the chambers on that one, and we're just too close to the election on this one. So they could still come up with a 11th and a half hour surprise, Chip, but I doubt it.
Okay. In the meantime, really hasn't done anything to slow down progress on the next fiscal year, because the president has put his budget out. President Biden has put his budget out. We talked with Paul Niefer earlier this week about some of the tax considerations that farmers need to be aware of. It's a budget bill, but boy, it's loaded up with new taxes.
Well, that shows you what would occur if the Democrats control after November 5th elections. That's clear. That's about the only solid thing you can say on that, Chip. But for the near term here, the current tax cut bill, remember, that's what was widely passed the House, but it's having trouble in the Senate, where I don't think it'll fly now, because they're just too many Republicans in the Senate saying, wait a minute, we want some changes.
Okay. Normally you would expect that a bill that features some tax cuts would get more support from both parties. What's the holdup?
Well, the holdup is, again, the Senate doesn't want to go along totally with the House passed bill, which passed overwhelmingly in a bipartisan vote. They just want to put their stamp on it. And there's some concerns about the House language on child tax credit provisions. That's the gotta have a Democrat provision. So there's been some counteroffers. So we could still see a tax cut bill yet this year. But boy, the clock is ticking on this one.
Yeah, no kidding. So we had Representative Sam Graves from Missouri on the show yesterday, Jim. He's chairman of the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee there in the House. And they have moved, the House has passed a bill that is, it's to facilitate the grant programs that help some of the local utilities, you know, cover that last mile in getting fast internet out into rural areas. They've passed this bill before. When it gets to the Senate, it runs into issues. And I said, what's the holdup? Who votes no for this one, Congressman? Was basically what I asked him. He says, well, it's a matter of scheduling. And I argued that it's really a matter of leadership, because Schumer doesn't want to put anything that's coming from the House that might pass the Senate in front of the Senate for a vote.
Well, I don't know the specifics. I'd have to look at that bill, Chip, but I will tell you that we're throwing billions and hundreds of billions of dollars at this internet thing. I think the story a few years from now will be seen as a chunk of that has been wasted.
Through federal programs? Money's been wasted? Oh, my goodness, Jim. I'm telling you. All right. Let's move on to a couple of other issues that are coming right up here, including the message from Grassley, from Senator Grassley and Senator Thune to U.S. Trade Rep Katherine Tai, Ag Secretary Vilsack, about let's get the kind of tried to give them a kick in the shorts when it comes to trade issues, didn't they?
Yeah. Also, as other countries ink, new trade agreements while we're sitting on our hands here. But the Biden administration is not giving any. You'll recall that USDA Secretary Vilsack at Commodity Classic kind of threw out the blurb that, Congress hasn't approved an extension of Trade Promotion Authority, TPA. Yeah. That's fast track that allows a new trade agreement to be approved on an up and down vote only, Chip, no amendments. However, the administration has to formally request a TPA extension, and they have not. So bottom line on trade policy, it's not going to change. We're going to have to see after November 5th elections. And I'm going to keep repeating that over the next few months, because this town will be almost in frozen until that occurs.
Yep. Yeah. You know, Jim, the other thing on trade issues, if we would put this issue straight in front of Vilsack, his response, I'm sure, would be, wait a second, we're just doing it differently. It doesn't mean that it's any less effective. The trade missions that we've got scheduled, the sit down, the conversations, look at the progress we've made here. Look at the progress we've made with India. Look at he would argue that the Biden administration's trade policies, trade plan, is more effective than what it's being given credit for. I don't think so, but he would argue that.
Some of that is true, but please discuss a $30 billion deficit for U.S. ag exports.
Right.
That's like screaming. Now, they'll say, well, it's the impact of a higher dollar. Don't believe it.
Because
we've had a strong dollar before, and we've always had an agricultural trade surplus. So also look at Brazil. Look at Brazil in the fact that they've been soybean top exporter for years now. This will be the second straight year for corn. They'll be the world's largest cotton exporter. Again, we're uncompetitive in the trade policy arena.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there are other things that happen when it comes to global trade that just makes the row crop producers, the small grain producers, the cattle producers, hog producers think that USDA is disconnected. And one of the big ones there is okaying and going forward with beef imports from Paraguay when it's been a decade since they last had somebody on the ground in Paraguay taking a look at the foot and mouth disease situation, Jim.
Yeah, you better be careful on that one for sure. Again, you have to have increased market access, and that means lowering the tariffs in a number of countries, but they're not discussing that, Chip. And no. it gets into where former President Trump is saying, look at reciprocal. If he gets in as president, he's saying, you know, he's tired of countries withholding their imports of U.S. products. So that's why he wants reciprocal. Look at the case of TikTok. Do you think China would allow our browsers to go into China? No.
No way. No way. That's exactly right. And the reciprocal issue is a big one with AgriTalk listeners. I know that for a fact. All right, we're in the middle of the free-for-all. Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer, Policy Analyst, Davis, and me here on AgriTalk.
Farmers are the heartbeat of rural America.
Congress recently invested $20 billion in America's farmers and ranchers, focusing on conservation practices and profits for future generations. Today, these funds are at risk.
You're squawking over $20 billion, that USDA program. It's investment into the future for everybody.
If the funding was eliminated, it could hurt farms and families.
Tell Congress, protect this generational investment in the Farm Bill. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
In the beginning, there were soybean plants, and something big was about to happen. Except it didn't, because stresses like heat and drought struck during the flowering stage, preventing bloom and so much more. But then Agroxene said, let there be SmartFoil. And the big bloom came, because SmartFoil is a biological foliar application that increases pod count and yield potential by reducing abiotic stress. So bloom big in 2024. Ask your retailer about SmartFoil by Agroxene, or visit bigbeanbloom.com to learn more.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now, Pro
Farmer. Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a micro-epoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The micro-epoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. April milk down 24 to 1601. May down 34 to 1642. June down 30 to 1726. July down 26 at 1789. Live cattle markets moving mostly higher as the market is seeing some higher cash markets today, and that is helping to support the markets. Feeder cattle also moving mostly higher due to the cash cattle trade and live cattle markets moving higher. Hog markets also moving mostly higher as midday cash prices and pork cutout values are higher. April live cattle up 35 cents to 187.30. March feeder cattle up $1.67 to 249.15. April hogs up 215 to 87. 17. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets moving mostly higher as there was 125,000 metric ton of old crop corn booked by unknown destinations. Soybeans moving mostly lower. The South American weather is allowing Brazil's harvest to continue. Wheat markets mostly lower. The trade still watching to see if any more export cargoes are canceled on the world market. And the dollar is still back in the middle of their trading ranges currently. New crop corn up 1 3/4 to 482 1/4. New crop beans now down 2 1/4 to 1184 3/4. May wheat in Chicago down 3.5 to 528 3/4. May wheat in Minneapolis down 6 3/4 to 648 1/2.
When it comes to farming and family, the most important thing is laying down roots. Hey, it's Matthew from Bluff Country Feed and Seed in Mondovi, and we want to help you grow your roots. From planting to harvest, we can help you lay your foundation through quality feed, seed, fertilizer, and great service. We know how to help because we know Bluff Country. At Bluff Country, we understand the importance of strong roots in the community and the relationships we build. So plant your roots with us at Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
The views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you're with us for the free-for-all. Davis is along. Jim Wiesmeyer, yep. Pro Farmer Policy Analyst. And joining us now, Tom Sell, Combest Sell and Associates. Tom, it's great to talk with you again. How are you, man?
Oh, I'm glad to be back. I'm doing well, thanks.
Good, good, good. Glad that you are here, because we need to figure out what is going on in the Senate with the farm bill. You know, we've heard word that Chairwoman Stabenow has basically said, listen, I've got what I want on nutrition. I've got what I want on conservation. Leave the rest alone. Let's move forward. That's all that we're going to do. Then we hear that, and we heard this on Monday morning from Senator Grassley on the show, that Stabenow took him to the side, took Grassley to the side and said, listen, I still want to pursue this farm bill. We still need to continue to work on this and get it done, you know, including Title I. What's the situation, Tom?
And I tell you, Title I is the driver in this farm. The whole premise of this farm bill is you got to shore up the safety net. You know, we've had this record 6 years looking back of ad hoc assistance and disaster bills, all an indictment of the current farm bill, right? It's saying the current farm bill is not doing the job. We've got to do something extra. And ad hoc assistance, whether it's MFP, CFAP, the disaster programs year after year, are always too little too late. They don't provide, you know, the certainty. They don't leverage the dollars in the rural economy that they could if they were baked into a farm bill that provides some level of certainty and reliability where farmers can make investment and build for the future. That's the whole premise of the farm bill, to provide kind of a foundation. And the whole reason for getting this farm bill done is to improve that safety net, which has been wanting and lacking. And so I think that's why Stabenow's talk about, okay, well, I don't really care about that. I'm just going to put up a hard defense around the IRA funds and the nutrition spending. Don't touch that. It's kind of coming across in the country as in, you know, we don't really care about the farm safety net portion. Bozeman obviously talks about we need more farm in the farm bill. That's his way of saying that, you know, the only way a farm bill goes forward on his watch is if we're making a significant investment into the Title I, Title XI, crop insurance, farm safety net portions. But I tell you, though, you know, stepping back, the whole thing is, and I think this is kind of the feeling about Washington these days, you know, we want, you know, a little less talk, a lot more action, baby. Yep. I think to quote a country song, we there's a lot of rhetoric and there's just not a lot of movement. And that's true of both the Senate and the House right now. I'm hoping, Chip, that when they come back after Easter in April, that we start to see some real action, some ideas actually put on the table where we can kick the tires and look at it and say, is this going to meet the need out there in farm country?
Right. Yeah, float some balloons. Let's take a look at what these might be and let the real world take a look at the thoughts and whether or not they make sense or not. Wiesmeyer, what is this looming conservation cliff that you are writing about?
I'm not quite sure. Cliff.
The report discusses the potential for a bipartisan solution addressing a looming conservation cliff resulting from the IRA. It's the IRA funds.
Oh, that's the Stabenow angle. That's
okay.
She on one side, I think she's correct. She wants to put that IRA funding in the farm bill baseline because it will extend that funding further than what the IRA mandate says. That's number one. But the cliff is that she doesn't want it to, as we've already discussed, she doesn't want the Republicans to pick $13 billion out of that for the Title I safety net. I agree with Tom. After Easter, the word is that G.T. Thompson, House Ag Committee Chairman, is going to put out a chairman's mark. I want him to show us the money. Yeah. Where is he going to get that money, the billions of dollars needed to increase those reference prices? And the way that they're going to do it probably will have almost everyone, if not all of the Democrats, saying no. Am I not right, Tom?
I think you're exactly. I don't know. I mean, the reality is it's easy when there's no kind of alternative out there to say, no, don't touch the conservation, don't touch the nutrition funds. Don't even look at it. It kind of reminds you of that Spinal Tap scene where Nigel Tufnel is saying that knob goes to 11. No, don't even touch. Don't look at it. but you know, once you actually have something on paper, the reality of, okay, this is the way we want to take some of these funds that might better be used to shore up the safety net and Look, Jim and Chip, I think they're going to have additional funds as well. They're going to have to take some of, the reality of the past, i.e. ad hoc assistance, and say, look, to build a better safety net and to really eliminate the need to have this ad hoc going forward, we have to make some investment. It's fiscally responsible. You'll spend less money in the long term. You'll provide more certainty to farmers. It's better by the better for the taxpayers, better for the farmers. But you're going to have to claim some of that kind of funds that might otherwise be spent. I think that's kind of the budget work that, that G.T. Thompson is doing right now and is very earnest about it. But there's going to have to be some new money in addition to kind of the best use of the funds that are currently in the pot for the farm bill. And that might include some to some extent nutrition and conservation funds that have had this dramatic increase in the baseline. I do think they'll try and get past this conservation cliff. That's a great word for it. The question is, can NRCS spend all these IRA funds in the next 2 years, or are they better to spread those out so they can actually put them into good long-term investments in EQIP and CSP and the RCP, the Conservation Partnerships Program. All these programs are really popular and really good. But I think Bozeman was trying to lay the case with the report this week that we'll be able to utilize them better if we spread that out over time and make long-term kind of permanent investments into the safety net on the conservation side. So a lot of good talk around that. I'm just, like Jim said, ready to see a draft and let's start hammering on this thing.
Yeah, because you got to show the money. You got to show where you're going to get the money. I do think that Stabenow and others are correct by saying we need to improve the crop insurance program relative to the area-wide programs, the SCO and the ECO, because if you really improve those by increasing incentives, 15 points or so, that lessens the need for ad hoc disaster, doesn't it, Tom?
You bet. Yeah. John Hovind and others, Debbie Stabenow has talked about this kind of investment in crop insurance. So I think it makes a lot of sense. I mean, crop insurance is such an amazing dynamic, infrastructure that's out there that can provide real time certainty to farmers. It does have that leveraging effect in the ag economy. So, crop insurance, I think, is seen as kind of it's the Cadillac infrastructure. That has been built over time. And so it seems to me right now that most of the attention is, what investments can be made in crop insurance to kind of help farmers, push them into achieving a higher level of coverage for their farm. And that's where those area-wide policies just make a lot of sense. And some of the other kind of aggregate policies. There's one that's in the making right now that kind of aggregates across commodities on a farm, tries to incentivize having a more diverse mix of crops on the farm, but providing an umbrella coverage. It's called CLIP. There are just some really exciting things that are coming to the fore through the federal crop insurance program. And importantly, through kind of the development angle, it's called Section 508H of that federal crop insurance act, where academics, where interest groups and commodity groups can invest in creating a policy that's going to work better for their particular area. Crop. So that's a really important authority, and it has allowed for the development of this crop insurance. Look at livestock and what's being done there. So it's really allowed for the development of that program over time.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay. You guys go back 8, 9, 10 months, and House Chairman Thompson talking about finding ways to get creative with the funding. And then go back to November with Secretary Vilsack saying, listen, if they want more funding for Title I, I can tell you where to get it. They just need to go to the CCC. We'll make sure that this all happens. And now, today, let's move the funds from the Inflation Reduction Act over to the Farm Bill and broaden the base. This is about as creative a group or efforts to expand funding for the Farm Bill as I've ever seen. Am I off base on that, guys?
Tom, where do you come out on the CCC angle?
Well, in a way, Secretary Vilsack was, any farm bill is a way that Congress says we're going to obligate the CCC. CCC is just kind of the bank. It's the funding section of the USDA for these types of programs. So what he was saying was not that new, but he was basically saying, look, I'll be creative with you. You can just tell me and we'll stand up something. They've done the same thing on some of the foreign market development through this RAP program. And that won praise from Bozeman and Stabenow and the other GT and David Scott as well, because it kind of took some pressure off the farm bill by obligating those funds out of the CCC. So I think the idea is good. I love the creativity. I think all the leaders deserve commendation for that. You know, I will say, you know, the president's budget came out this week, mm-hmm. which is the budget blueprint. And while, you know, kudos to Secretary Vilsack and USDA, you know, none of kind of some of the old historic, as has been done in the past, you know, cuts in the system have been made. A lot of times that administration budget blueprint is just kind of a false document that tries to get to a balanced budget at a time. They didn't do that. They didn't make any cuts. Okay. But also, in that document, it also didn't obligate CCC or provide.
Yeah, Tom, you know what? We'll talk more about the president's budget when we come back. We got the president's budget. We got some biofuel issues. And then we got to talk interest rates next.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same, but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online? Just go to hims.com/joy. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation, discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and trusted generic alternatives to the name brands. Add up to 95% off. That's right, get generic for Viagra, the same active ingredient as brand name Viagra, but for 95% less. It's the same medication, still prescribed by a licensed medical provider, but with zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy for your free online visit, hims.com/joy.
Your gas light's on. We need to fill up.
Gas around here is too expensive.
Don't drive all over searching for the lowest prices. Just download the free Upside app and get cash back for every gallon of gas you buy. I've already made around $200.
You can make that kind of cash back just for buying gas? I'm stopping now to download Upside and fill up my tank. Download the free Upside app to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or e-gift card. Download the free Upside app now and use promo code RADIO for an extra 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up. That's promo code RADIO.
Pluto TV won't cost you a thing because everything is free. So if you want to watch Braveheart, Mean Girls, or The Price is Right, well, The Price is Right. It's free. Just download the app, which, by the way, is also free. Pluto TV. Stream now, pay never.
Business owners own a custom-designed building from General Steel. Call 866-95-STEEL. 866-95-STEEL. That's 866-957-8335.
Council.
Potential. It's the one thing that farmers work tirelessly to reach. Sometimes it takes more than just sweat equity. It takes real financial backing. And whether it's land, equipment, or a little help to make the most of your operation, FBN Finance is the partner for you. At FBN Finance, our Farmers First philosophy means that we have a team of ag experts that looks at each farm and farmer's unique needs, giving you a loan package that fits your goals. And now with FBN Finance, you can get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. With great rates, instant approvals, and a pre-qualification on farmland loans, FBN Finance has everything you need to be your partner in the fields and with your finances. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC, and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
All right, let's see here. Acuron Corn Herbicide. Powerful weed control? Check. Long-lasting residual? Check. Proven crop safety? Check. Acuron checks all the boxes, which is why it outperforms and outyields all other corn herbicides by 5 to 15 bushels an acre. Talk to your local Syngenta retailer or visit findmorebushels.com to discover your revenue potential today. Always read and follow label instructions. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve.
With private health care, you'll get the coverage you want and health care you need. If your employer doesn't supply health care coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private health care is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
Cancer can feel like something we can't do anything about, but you can. There are screening tests that can catch cancer early when it may be easier to treat. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, start colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Smart Nutrition MAP plus MST, fertilizer designed with seed safety in mind. Smart Nutrition MAP plus MST is engineered with a lower salt index. Learn how it protects your seed at smartnutritionmst.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. Glad that you're with us on this Friday morning for the free-for-all. Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst. Tom Sell, Combest Sell and Associates, and Davis, newsman, handsome newsman, Davis Michelson is with us today. Tom, at the end of the last segment, you were making a point about the president's budget. What, take us through that conversation again?
Well, it's all this talk about you know Secretary Vilsack saying, "Well, just use the CCC, rely on me." The problem with that is, you know, when Congress writes a bill to obligate the CCC, they get scored for that by CBO. And so this is the essence of the problem with the writing of this farm bill, the money problem that's around it. Secretary Vilsack has kind of made this claim of, you know, just use CCC or rely on me. The only point I was making, and generally I have a lot of positive things. I think the secretary of the USDA did a nice job in their budget. They didn't kind of do any draconian cuts, but I would note that they did not make an allocation for the use of the CCC as Secretary Vilsack has been suggesting. So it's just kind of an interesting little nerdy tidbit there.
Exactly. Okay. All right. Jim, the Renewable Fuels Association is getting word out that the Biden administration is expected to unveil a final version of one of its final rules for next week, the clean car rule, that as it stands right now, RFA is saying that it's going to incentivize that 2/3 of new passenger vehicles sold in 2032 are running on electricity. What it looks like maybe Wednesday this next week for EPA to make that announcement.
Well, that's the word. But again, you can put something as an announcement, but the real marketplace is saying the mandated move to electric vehicles is going backwards, not forwards, Chip.
Yeah. Yeah. Tom, do you pick up that lack of enthusiasm for the EVs, especially for those that are looking to replace an EV?
I do. The marketplace is marketplace. You can look at sales and all the news lately has been negative on that front, and just, you know, the practical reality of it, you know, for, you know, the, it's kind of like the newness is worn off and now you have some just real problems if you're an EV owner. You know, hybrids are growing and other things. There are a lot of ways the administration, I think, can accomplish some of the goals to get to lower emissions. But man, I just don't know if EV is going to be the answer.
Right. And Jim, there's roadblocks in front of year-round availability of E15. So we've got some answers to help the Biden administration and environmentalists advance their emissions goals by adopting higher blends. That's already there. That's already in place. It's all,
It's available right now, but year-round availability of E15, it seems to me it makes perfect sense. But boy, there's a lot of headwinds to this, isn't there?
Well, you've got Senator Tom Carper, Delaware. He's on the Environment and Public Works Committee. He's just he's just saying no to this right now. So it's hard to get it through the legislative process. Tom, do you agree?
I do. You obviously have some very strong advocates working, and this may be something that kind of ends up in an end of the year bill. But it is a practical reality right now. You know what ethanol has done for this nation is just. It's just truly amazing. I say that as a Texan. And I know Jim likes to, you know, even, you know, my former boss, Comvest and business partner, was always a big advocate for ethanol. One, it's homegrown, you know, and you just have this ability to blend at higher rates that does good for our air quality and for the local economies. It is such an easy answer that, you know, I have a lot of faith in those very strong advocates, bipartisan advocates in the Congress. They've shown an ability to accomplish their goals over time, and I think they're going to keep pressing just because this is such an easy and practical and good answer.
Yeah.
So I'm bullish on it.
Yep. Got to keep pushing. Got to keep pushing. And you've got senators like Carper that are, yeah, you know, they're. Honestly, they're doing their job. They're looking out for their constituents, right, Jim? I mean,
the refiners.
The refiners in Delaware. It's the reason that they got elected and to begin with was to protect their constituents' best interests.
But yeah. What's going to help the E15, if not E20, in the future will be the movement toward this, carbon credits, Chip.
Yeah.
And if hopefully a corn-based ethanol qualifies, and to what degree, which I think it will. This will add, I think, pressure and momentum to get year around because it just makes sense from a scoring position, if nothing else, on the eventual coming out to meet the GREET timeline
model.
GREET.
Yep. Yeah. Got to get this GREET model, the final adjustments done and in place so that we can clear the path for corn-based ethanol into the sustainable aviation fuel market and other low carbon applications for fuels. You know, but some of these environmentalists are in such a weird, they find themselves in a weird position, you guys, because these are the same groups that have been harping against corn-based ethanol forever. But they're also saying, hey, we got to have 3 billion gallons of sustainable aviation fuel available to the market by the year 2030. Well, that's not all that far off. And the only way that you're going to find enough feedstock is if you go to farmers to get the product.
Absolutely. And
you can trust the farmers. I'll say that. You know, we have a great record of stepping up and getting it done.
That's
right. All the practical kind of barriers that are out there, we overcome them. And that's the beauty of the rural America and the American farmers and
beautiful
the industry like ethanol that they support.
Beautiful. Let's end it with that. Tom, great stuff. Thanks, buddy.
Great to talk to you. Jim, you great to hear your voice.
Sure.
Tom Sell, Combat Sell and Associates. Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst. Have a great weekend, Jim.
Sure, Chip.
Davis, we will talk to you this afternoon when we've got a conversation with Jim Matthews from Ever.Ag here on AgriTalk.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy.
Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Are you stressing about your IRS tax problems? Have you received notices from the IRS threatening to garnish your wages, levy your bank accounts, or seize your property? You need an ally. Allies Tax Relief has tax attorneys and enrolled agents that are ready to fight for you. They have saved millions for taxpayers just like you. Allies Tax Relief can help put a stop to IRS collections and, most importantly, negotiate your tax debt. Here's Brenda, a happy client of Allies Tax Relief.
I owe the IRS around 57.